Let's pray together. Lord, our Father, we thank you. And God, again, we ask that you would give us what we need. And you would meet us in the place of even those things we cannot speak. For you are wise beyond our understanding. Meet us in the place that will bring us closer to you. Meet us there. For we cannot go until you come. And we will never know unless we have the mind of Christ. So open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts fertile ground that would receive. Carry us when we are incapable of walking ourselves. Lift us when we have fallen. Hold us that we not wander off. And God, when you have done these things, we will be very careful. Give you all the praise and glory. And we often say that thank you is not enough. But we say thank you. Bless your name. People have gathered in their tent doors and they are waiting. They would ask, is there a word from the Lord? Speak to us. That we would know life. Again, forgive us of our sins. Lord, have mercy. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Lord, I ask that you would give me just a little bit more than the usual.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We might get through and we might hear what you are saying to the church. Thank you in advance and forevermore. People of God said amen,
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 and amen. Come on and bless him. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. God bless you. Grab your Bibles. I am. We're thankful to God that you are here. It would not be the same without you. And I've been doing this a long time. I know church strategy. And so, Minister Dean, you use church strategy. Because if I had known you were here, I could have stepped aside. Chandra, you use church strategy. Because you know if I see you, I'm going to ask you to sing. So you came in late intentionally so I wouldn't ask you. Now, if I wasn't feeling bad, I'd ask you anyway. But I understand. I'm gonna let you off the hook, both of you, and see if I can't get through these few 10 minutes and we'll be on our way. Matthew chapter 2, if you'll turn on your smart devices, your tablets, your phones, and pull up your Bible apps. Let's not Facebook, let's not Snapchat, let's not tweet. Let's just look at the Bible app.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 2, just a couple of verses, and we'll be on our way. If you come down to verse 10, Matthew chapter 2, amen. Hear any pages turning anymore, that means you're there or you gave up. Amen. Matthew chapter 2 at verse 10. The New Living Translation of the Bible says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and They fell down before him and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chest and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. God bless you. You may be seated. Y'all be so kind. Please stop bouncing up and down. I'd appreciate that. Oh, it must be me. Sorry. Everybody's kind of doing like that. You know? Amen. I want to, if you'll help me just for a moment, and I need your help. If you would put a smile on your face and look at the person next to you and say to them, neighbor, pastor's going to preach. Give him something back. Amen. Give him something back. The text, kind of familiar to us, those of us who've been in church for a little while, and all of our preachers here today, and there's quite a few of you, and all of you well-seasoned children of God know that these stories do not change. You can tell them over and over again. If you got any sense at all, you won't mess them up. There are certain biblical stories that good preachers ought not mess up. And I don't intend to mess up. Might pass out, but I don't intend to mess up. But I want you to reason together for a moment and really think about, ushers, I'm sorry, y'all sit down. My mind is not good right now. Y'all can rest. Please do. Thank you. I want you to listen to what I want to say to you, because I think it's time for us to recalibrate this season. I have nothing against Christmas, as it were. I was a child once. I enjoyed it. I thought that it was the best time of the year. I have children. When my children were smaller, I enjoyed it. My sons, a lot of things, Deacon Davis, I bought them. I really bought it for me. Since they were boys, I figured we could share, you know. I have grandchildren now, and I like to see them get stuff, and it's nice. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't think we're going to miss heaven because of Christmas. I don't think God's going to get too upset with us about that. But I want us to recalibrate, because if you really consider whose birthday it is, I really think we ought to give him something back. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift cometh down from our Father who loves us. I am not going to trouble you long, but I think all of us would have to testify and can say amen that he loves us. If my grandmother were here, she'd holler at me right now and say, he's been better to me than I've been to myself. And that's just how God is. God is always so much better to us than we are to ourselves. Sometimes when you look at this season, it is not too difficult to get caught up in all of the frills and all of the tinsel and mistletoe and all of that kind of thing, the songs, the joy of the seasons, if you will. But I think that when you recalibrate this time, I think you ought to really look at Jesus a little different. Now, I know ain't too many of y'all going to change your mind about Christmas just because of my little sermon here, but I just thought you ought to give him something back. Now, I know that most of us in this particular setting have already done all we're going to do. In fact, when some of y'all got up this morning, you went to the tree and started ripping stuff open and stuff had your name on it. And some of y'all just opened up other people's stuff too. Make sure nobody outdid you. And I understand that. Some of us are going to leave here in a little while, and as soon as the preacher finishes, and we'll go home and finish the eggnog, and we'll put the ham and the turkey in the oven for the final few hours and all that kind of stuff. And you may not even think about Jesus anymore today. But I figure while I got you here for these few minutes, while I'm on my feet, I try to get you to want to give him something back. You know, he never really asked for anything. If you look at the story in its intimate details, on this occasion, when these wise men, if you were shepherds, kings of Orient and all that kind of stuff, whoever these guys were, he didn't ask them for nothing. No announcement went out. Nothing came from heaven. No angelic voices said they had to do this. This is really the interesting part of the story, because you have to ask yourself by investigation, why would they do that? You ever been around people who just do nice stuff for you? Okay, three of y'all. The rest of y'all need to learn how to be nice. You be nice, folk will do nice things for you. But why do these men, why do they travel great distance? They are in some estimations, they are deemed to have been holy men. They are deemed to have been wise men. But there is no call to bring him stuff. And that's the really loving thing about Jesus, and I pray you'll see this. He never asked for anything. Okay, y'all missed that. Jesus is so sovereign and self-sufficient that even when the disciples thought he missed a meal, he said, I got food that y'all don't know nothing about. Isn't that how wonderful he is? You ever listen to that song that Grandma and them taught us, Dr. Dixon, that says, you can't beat God's giving. No matter how hard you try. Now, some of y'all can't say nothing about that because y'all don't even try. But I just thought I'd, as my grandma would say, make mention of it, because he doesn't need anything. And Deacon Dean, there's a question that often says, what do you buy somebody who has everything? I mean, really, if we were on the office party gift list and you drew Emmanuel, God with us, where do you get that guy? First of all, you can't do no $5 limit on Jesus. I mean, come on, how you $5? Man, this is the bread of heaven. This is the gentle redeemer. This is Mary's baby. This is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. This is my getting up and going to bed. This is my food. This is my bridge over troubled water. This is my help when I needed help. This is my healing when I'm... you can't put no $5 on Jesus. Now, some of y'all know that was a setup, because I've been looking at the financial reports. And some of y'all have been putting $5 on Jesus. But the question is, what do you give him? We know the story. I'm about done. We know the story of the little drummer boy. You know that's an interesting story. It's not really in the Bible like that. You know, no little boy like that. But he has a line where he says, "I have no gift to bring." And let me say this to you, so we can keep it real. There is no reason for any of us to ever not have something to give God. Okay. Thank you, Brother Beverly. I appreciate you, 7, 8 of y'all over here. I haven't done much stealing in my life in the last 2 weeks, but I think I'd steal something to give it to God. I'd ask him to bless it and forgive me, but Lord, I thought I'd come. I wouldn't come empty-handed. You know, if it came down to bless the Lord, oh my soul, I'm not coming empty-handed. I'll rob my brother.
I'll go in my mama pocketbook. I'm not showing up and not bless the Lord. After all he's done for me, I'd rather apologize to men than disappoint my God. He's been that good to me. And I don't know why we cannot find it in our hearts to bless him. You can't walk around talking about I'll bless the Lord at all times and you don't bless him at all times. You're just lying for no good reason. There are some lies we just tell in the church we ought to stop telling. Amen. You can't say things to God out of his word and it doesn't have any resonance in your heart. You can't just talk to him like that because he knows the issues of your heart. And a whole lot of us need to learn how to be honest with God. And so I figured we ought to give him something back. Give him something. So I thought about it. Reverend Uriel, I thought, well, what could we give him? What could we give him? I didn't want to go by, as my grandson would say, the store with the backwards R. That's how he described it. He said, Granddaddy, we need to go to that store with the backward R. So, that wouldn't suit Jesus. I didn't want to go to Joseph A. Bank because I don't think that would do it either. I don't think I could. I couldn't go to Tiffany's and that wouldn't do it either. I thought about it and I thought I could help y'all. I said, well, let's see if we can help them help themselves. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that God knows how to give good gifts. And then he says in the same vein, men don't know how to do that. Amen. Some of y'all have gone through this in the last few weeks. People you really care about, you've been wrestling over what is the right thing, and that's just fine. I hope I was part of the reason you were wrestling because you want to give me something really nice. No amens came right there. But I thought about it, so I figured I could help you if you'll let me. First of all, when you think about God, what do you think? See, that's part of the gifting process. How do you see him? Here's what he says. He says, who do men say that I am? See? And part of that comes into what Isaiah talks about. He said, let's reason together. When you think about blessing the Lord, do you really know who he is? Do you really know who he is? How many of you have ever had some senior saint in your family tell you, you know who you're talking to? Do you know who? Y'all ain't never had that happen to y'all. I did. I had it happen a lot of times. Because what they're saying is you need to adjust your attitude before I give you some attitude. When you think about God, who is he? Who is he? Who is God to you? Some of us see God as a maitre d' or something, you know, or some concierge, you know, fancy word. We see God as just somebody that's going to bring us stuff. But that's not who he is. Because the truth of the matter is, he doesn't owe you anything. He don't owe. In fact, if justice had its way, all of us would be dead. Even this morning, if mercy took a day off, if grace got fed up with us, there would be no declaration of independence for any of us. Old folks say, don't play him short. You really need to know who God is. And I've said it before, Audrey, and I'll say it again. You need to stop seeing him with a perm and blue eyes. That's not who he is. He is salvation. Listen, he said out of his own mouth, it is for this cause that I came into the world. I didn't come to give y'all no houses. I didn't come to give y'all no cars. You see, y'all like that kind of stuff. See how quiet y'all got right there? I didn't come to give you no job. I didn't come to make nobody, you know, I didn't come to get folk off your back. I didn't come to help you get out of no trouble. I came to save y'all. And see, okay, see that right there? Because a whole lot of us, for the next 6 months, going to be saying, what was I thinking? You done gone out and spent your little money. You done tried to be nice to people, and you still don't know who Jesus is. You don't realize that your salvation is in Christ Jesus. And I can tell because there were 7 or 8 of y'all giving me something right there. He came to save us. And being saved ain't got nothing to do with what you drive. Ain't got nothing to do with where you live. It ain't got nothing to do with the name on your desk. It ain't got nothing to do with none of that stuff. What you ought to thank and praise God for every day of your life is that he hung, bled, and died and saved us. He don't owe me nothing. He don't owe me nothing. He's already done enough. I call myself already being slick some years ago and told my children, y'all ain't got to buy me nothing for Christmas. Them Negroes signed on to that right quick. No debate. Nobody said a word. Everybody said, okay, good, 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 good. And they don't. They don't buy me nothing. I said, I can get my own stuff. And they said, good, good, good. And if they have it in our size, get us one too while you're over there. But I don't need nothing else. Here's what the Bible teaches us. Dean says, we brought nothing into this world. And we're not going to carry anything out. That's good life. Is that quiet y'all got right now? You don't need nothing else. You around here fidgeting and getting in debt up to your elbows to try to do what? Buy folks stuff who don't need nothing else. Some of y'all by the end of the day going to be mad as a wet hen. Because something you bought somebody, they're going to either break it or when they open it, they're going to look at it and go, oh. And you're going to say, oh. I live black too. You got to understand that he came to save us. And here's the celebration. Right here, Ms. Davis, if you don't understand being saved, you're missing the whole point of life. Because everybody's going to die. But what I like about salvation is that there's this clause that said, and the dead in Christ shall rise. That means we get another chance. Nothing that's, I done messed up once, twice, but I'm going to have another chance. They that die in him shall show up, get up with him. That's why I want to bless him. That's why I lift up my voice. That's why I stand up when I'm sick. That's why I keep coming when ain't nobody here. Because I know that he gave me another chance. And because the dead in Christ shall rise, I'm not going to have it any other way. I'm going to stick and stay until the end. I'm going to hold on just a little while longer. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart.
Yes, sir.
He saved me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. So here it is. Here it is. What do you want us to give him, Reverend? All right. I wish I felt better. All right, here it is. First thing to do. And we'll go. First thing. You need to give him, and please get note of this, you need to give him surrender without conditions.
Come on, Pastor. Amen.
Yep. That's an easy one. You need to surrender without condition. See, here's what we do. We play God.
Well,
we toy with him. But Lord, if you do this, then I'll do that. Yeah. You done lost your mind. You a buckethead. You don't get to do that with God. First of all, you ought to be cowering and walking in the room backwards.
Come on, Pastor.
That he don't smite you. As soon as you get in the room, you don't make no terms with God. Look how quiet y'all got right there. You ought to surrender without conditions.
Yes, sir.
Because we are guilty. There is no quid pro quo. You don't get to tell God, well, you know, if you give me that job, then I'll come to church every Sunday. If you get me out of this case, Lord, if you get these folk off my back, if you fix my marriage, God ain't got to do none of that stuff. First of all, Some of y'all need to admit that a whole lot of the hell you going through, you brought it on yourself. If you have been living like the righteousness of God, come on and talk to me.
Well,
Lord, if you just get me out of this, you know, no. You need to surrender without conditions. Because we're guilty. You can't go in there and tell God, well, if you do this for me. No. First of all, here's what I know about God. He is so loving and so compassionate that he lets us make these silly little requests and he listens to them. I can see God sitting there on that big strato lounger up in heaven going, shh, wait a minute, listen to Leroy. I can see the Holy Spirit saying, let's get it. He said, no, let him finish. He talking crazy. And the Holy Spirit said, again, yeah. Come on, everybody, raise your hand. You did it. Amen. But Lord, I've been faithful.
Yeah.
You 75 and been faithful one day, and you think that means something?
Well,
I'm doing the best I know how. Well, that ain't no good. you gotta stop trying to make conditions with God.
Come on, Pastor.
Let's see if I can make this. I'm hurt. Saul, come here. Saul on his way down the road toward Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little community. Got some new houses they built down there. He going down there. And the Bible says that he runs into the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't like he don't know. The earth is the Lord. You know, the Lord can be on any road he want. Some of y'all need to remember that.
Well.
Because some of y'all think because you go that way, the Lord don't send you.
Come on, Pastor.
Come on, talk back to me. So he says, Saul, Saul. You know, when the Lord calls your name twice, you're probably in trouble. You know, the same rule apply in life. When somebody calls your name twice, you're probably in too deep.
Yeah.
He says, why are you raising up on me like that? That's Ebonics Bible. He said, what's wrong with you, boy? You don't you know who I am? Saul got it right. He surrendered. He said, I'm done.
Yes.
He said, I'm done. And see, some of us, the Lord been giving y'all a chance. The Lord been giving y'all a chance. Some of y'all, reading you still alive right now, is because God is being patient with you.
Yes, sir.
Long suffering.
Yes, sir.
Slow to anger.
Well.
Been calling your name. You've been ignoring him. God been dialing you up on your little ringtone. You've been, you screening God. But you got to understand, you ain't going to win. Saul said, I got this. He said, you do realize that there's strength in surrender. So you ought to surrender without condition. Second thing is, well, I wish I felt better. Second thing is, and this is what you need to give him. You give him that. Second thing you ought to give him, and this is a good one, you need to give him sacrifice without a claim of compensation.
Come on now.
In other words, when you give something to God, he ain't got to give you nothing back. Lord, I'm a tithe, but I'm going to need you to pay this bill. Anybody tell you to sign that paper? Listen, when you see a thing say 90 days same as cash and you don't have no cash, 90 days coming. The reason they let you finance stuff, because you don't have the money today. Them 45 days they give you before you make your first payment don't mean the first payment ain't coming.
Come on.
I got 45 days, I'm riding free. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
When you sacrifice to God, you're not entitled to compensation.
That's right.
Stop looking up toward heaven and saying, Lord, see me. Yeah, I see you. You way behind. Most of us, if we ever try to really get our just due with God, we'll never catch up. You can't sacrifice and want compensation. Lord, see me down here putting up with these church folk. You ought to bless me. See me working with these hard-headed kids in the church. You ought to bless me. Lord, I'm getting up early and coming down here. God don't owe you nothing.
That's right.
Y'all ain't saying amen.
Amen.
You got to learn how to sacrifice, because sacrifice is a part of the servant's life.
Come on, Pastor.
You can't ask him to die for you and then you want to live for yourself.
Well,
you can't ask him to pour out blessings for you.
Well,
and all you want to do is bless yourself. You can't ask him to deliver you from evil, and all you want to do is evil for you. You don't get to do that with God. Yeah. You need to give him a sacrifice and then go about your business. Here's why. Because Deacon Walker, you didn't bring nothing to the game.
Come on, Pastor.
Can I finish? You didn't bring nothing to the game. Some of us remember those days, and Chandra, I know you've been saved a long time in Detroit, Michigan, wherever that is. You is now. You're a world traveler. Y'all may not put up stuff like this, but back in the day, they used to have these little thing called BYOB parties. You had to bring your own Bible.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all church folk ain't never been none of them other than shindig. But you know, you brought your flavor. See how Jess looking at me right now? When you went to them, you brought your flavor. Well, but y'all remember there was always some little schemer. Gonna bring that old bottom shelf stuff. But then they drinking up here with you. They brought some old stuff that nobody can pronounce. But when you pouring yours, they're talking about, go on, give me a little hit of that. You brought some old Glenfiddich.
Well.
And we over here with Cutty Sauce. I mean, I don't want to call no names because some of y'all start having flashbacks and will leave church early. But you know, you always have folk who try to come in on the cheap.
Yes, sir.
And then elevate their game in the middle of the thing like you don't see them. You don't know Johnny Black, but you come on, talk to me.
Yeah.
You brought Fred Flintstone, and we got Johnny Walker, and you think we don't know the difference between? And then you always had these people who try to come in late.
Well.
And slide in uninvested.
Well.
You know, and then want to act like y'all ought to be glad I'm here. You cannot, let me see, I'm going to hurry. You cannot try and hold on to what does not support, sustain, or strengthen you.
Come on, Pastor.
That was good preaching right there.
Yes, sir.
I wish I had my strength. I want to work that part right there, Minister Dean. I was going to do some hollering, but I can't. But please understand that sacrifice does not entitle you to compensation.
That's right.
This is what Peter said, and you good Christians know this. He said, Lord, we done left everything to follow you. And notice what Jesus said. Mm-hmm. That's basically all Jesus said. Mm-hmm. You notice he didn't say, oh, don't worry about it. Now, I know there's a line where he said, don't fret too much, because he said, God is a good bookkeeper. He said, anything you've left, you know, lost here on earth, he said, it's going to be duly compensated. But see, understand, that's why the dead in Christ thing comes back to play. Because whatever you gave up here, if you die and go to hell, you don't get to come to heaven and lay claim to nothing. You go straight to hell. And so he says, now please understand, don't try to hold on to stuff that ain't yours to hold on to and miss out on what God's trying to give you. And so we got to stop thinking we got to make sacrifice and get compensated. Then last two, and I'm done. Third thing is, and this is good right here. It's right at the hour. Third thing is, you got to give him, this is what you ought to give him. This is a good one right here, Yvette. This is a good one. Give him your laughter. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, some of y'all sitting there thinking, you trying to be all deep and say, wait a minute, where's that coming? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, make a joyful noise.
Yes, sir.
Unto the Lord. Yeah. Some of y'all is just too tight.
Come on, Pastor.
Some of y'all, where you going? Sit down. I don't know if I'm the pastor around here sometimes. You see how y'all laugh right there? That's why I did that. See how much better you felt right there? Some of y'all need to learn how to make a joyful noise. Some of y'all always so tight and, and so prudish and act like when you come to church, you got to be all sophomoric and all that. You ain't all that.
Well,
ain't none of us all that. I know I ain't got no good sense. As many times I bump my head at the child, it's the one I can tie my shoe. But I know that when you laugh,
yes, sir,
it's medicinal.
Yes.
And making a joyful noise,
uh-huh,
is something God truly appreciates. Yeah, when you smile and when you laugh, and the church ought to be lifting up that kind of praise to God all the time. And one of the things you ought to give him back is your laughter. You ought to let God know you're happy. How many of y'all got children and you can tell when your children happy because you hear them laughing? They say, oh, they must be having a good old time. Listen to them. And we like that kind of stuff as parents. We love to hear our children laugh. Amen. When our children are crying, it bothers us. Y'all didn't see it coming. And some of y'all whine so much that God wonders what I got to do next. You always like little Sally Walker crying to the east and crying to the west. You ought to laugh sometimes. And God will look down and say, oh, look at it. They happy today. They just grinning and like old Cheshire Cat just laughing. And the sound reverberates up into the kingdom.
Well.
And God says, oh, yeah, they must like what I'm doing for them now.
Well.
Because they're laughing. And you got to learn how to just try sometime to put a little sunshine in the mix.
Yes.
Amen. You ought to try it sometime. You ought to just go ahead and laugh every now and then. And you know, when you laugh, you make the enemy wonder what's going on. Amen. Because the devil been trying to make you cry, but you keep on laughing. Amen. You got to smile, and the whole world will smile with you. And you got to learn how to whistle while you work. You got to learn how to do a little happy dance. Y'all ain't talking to me. Some of us come around the church, and we ain't laughed in so long that people think our tickle box is broke. But look at your name and say, you ought to laugh sometime. Amen. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how hard things are. I don't know how many bills you got to pay, but I've learned how to laugh sometimes. Yeah, I've learned. I wish I had to help you. I've learned how to laugh sometimes and make people wonder, what am I laughing at? I'll never forget one time when I was in the midst of some financial problems and them folk kept calling my house from them 800 numbers and 888 numbers and 866 numbers. And one day the lady was talking to me. She said, you sound like you laughing, Mr. Mitchell. I said, oh, yes, I am. She said, you don't realize the seriousness of this matter. You don't realize the gravity of what you're into. I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, one thing about it, you ain't going to make me cry. I said, as long as I'm laughing, you can't figure out why I'm laughing. And I'm going to keep on laughing because I know that the joy of the Lord is where I get my strength. Y'all ain't talking to me. As long as I got joy, I can be all right. Anybody know you can be all right? Sometimes you got to learn how to hit the joy button. Sometimes you got to learn that when you're blessing God, you just ought to laugh back a little bit and remind yourself that the joy of the Lord. Remind yourself that weeping may endure for the night, but your joy is coming. Look at your name and say, it's on the way. And I want God to know that I'm very thankful for all that he's done for me. In fact, you got to remember that when you sing praises, there ought to be some laughter in your praise. That's why the Bible says when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. Anybody need a blessing right now? I believe I can declare with all assurity that God has been good to us. I said I can declare with all assurity that God has been good to us. And that's why I'm laughing right now. Because in spite of how I feel, I still got joy. In spite of my disappointments, I've still got joy. In spite of the long road ahead of me, I've still got joy. I've been down sometimes, but I still got joy. I've been lied on, but I still got joy. Friend turned out on me, but I still got joy. And I want God to know that everything's all right. I want God to know that I'm so glad that love lifted me. I want God to know that everything's all right. I may not have what some of y'all got, but everything's all right. I may not drive like some of y'all drive, but everything's all right. I wish I had one witness that can tell another witness that he'll give you joy. Won't God give you joy? Can you say it? Say yeah. Say ah. One more thing. Sit down. One more thing to give him. You gotta learn how to give him surrender without condition.
Uh-huh.
Sacrifice without a claim of compensation.
Uh-huh.
You gotta learn how to laugh. Yeah. And this is the good one. The last thing you ought to give him, and this is good for everybody here, Brother Beverly. You ought to give him a life that's loyal. That's what you ought to give him. That's the big one. See, that's really the big one. But you ought to give him a life that's loyal. Here's what the Roman letter says. Paul says, and you preachers know this one. Paul says, you got to present your life. See that word present? It's timely today, Chandra, because today is present day. This is the day when we determine how much folk love us by whether they present to us. Yeah, if you don't give me something today, our relationship is suspect. Come on, talk to me. This is present day. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad when you present me something. Come on, talk to me.
A
whole lot of us sitting around right now waiting to see who's going to bring us something. And so here's what Paul told you. He said, you present your life.
Uh-huh.
I like this here kind of preacher. He said, present your life as a living sacrifice. Holy. Thank you for helping me. You can come close in a minute. Holy and acceptable to the Lord.
Yes.
Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm getting ready to go now. And this last few minutes ain't got nothing to do with you. I like you. I'm sitting by you. You smell good. You didn't step on my foot or nothing like that. But this last little bit just between me and God. Because the Bible says that I got to give him a life that's loyal. Neighbor, I don't mean any harm. Me and you go back like freaking frack. But right along through here, I got to put my eyes on the prize. Right along through here, I got to get my hand in the winding chain. Right along through here, I want to talk like my grandma talked. When grandma said, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own and the joy we share. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, I want you to understand that I've got to present unto God. I can't use up all my good stuff. I can't run down to my last few nickels, but I've got to present my life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Anybody care what God think about you? Anybody care what God gonna say about you? Some of us been living a long time and want to hear him say, well done. Well, if you want to hear him say, well done, you got to learn how to do well. Look at him say, that was so simple. If you want to hear him say, well done, you got to learn how to do well. You got to learn how to walk right. You got to learn how to talk right. You got to learn how to love right. You got to learn how to give right. You got to learn how to preach right. You got to learn how to teach right. You got to learn how to play right. You got to learn how to sing right. Come on and talk to me. Look at your name and say, neighbor, you got to get it right because time is running out. The hour is almost here. Grandma said it won't be long. The Lord is on his way. And I need some loyalists in here. Can I ask my question? Is there anybody here that love my Jesus? Is there anybody here that's going to hold on just a little while longer? Is there anybody here that knows that the Lord is my shepherd? I shall not want. I can't make it without him. Is there anybody here? You've come too far to turn back now. You've been through too much. You've been through the storms. You've been through the rain. But God, I say, but God, he made a way. Didn't he make a way? He woke you up this morning, started you on your way. You ought to be glad about it. He put food on your table, clothes on your back. You ought to be glad about it. He kept you from danger, both seen and unseen. You ought to be glad about it. I said, the Lord has been good to us. Hadn't he been good to us? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, here's why. Because of all that the Lord has done, I owe him so much. I owe him my life. I owe him my love. I owe him my peace. Because of all that the Lord has done, had Had he been good to you? Had he been good to you? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say ah. But he died. I said he died. And early, 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 one Sunday morning, he got up. Didn't he do it? Aren't you glad that he got up? Aren't you glad that he rose? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yes. I got to give him something back. So I'm going to surrender. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, come out, come out. Wherever you are. And I'm going to make my sacrifice. Let me help you with this one. Some folk will never understand why you do what you do for God. And you stop trying to explain it to them. Make your sacrifice a living sacrifice. You know what we do with dead stuff? You make folk mad enough, they ain't gonna even bury you. Gonna take you out in the woods and leave you. They figure the county will come along and take care of you. But you don't want to die and not have a sacrifice. Stop trying to explain to folk your sacrifice. Just tell them this is my reasonable service. Man, God been good to us. Oh yeah. I'm looking at y'all. Y'all looking at me. Some of y'all right now at the house. Y'all probably got $5,000-$6,000 worth of stuff all over the house. Scooters and PlayStations and Xboxes. Y'all got furs and some folk went to Jared. Not that Jared, but the other Jared. You go to that Jared, you ain't gonna come back with nothing. But, you know, some of us got brain cramps. We keep forgetting how good the Lord been to us. Yeah, see how some of y'all won't clap? See how some of y'all won't clap? God been good to y'all. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. I just told you it ain't got nothing to do with what's under your tree. He died to save us. That's why the song says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I ain't scared no more. God been good to us. And you ought to give him something back. So when you give your surrender without condition, stop doing that. Stop telling God how you want to be saved and what you're willing to do. You ought to do anything he say. Amen. Amen. You remember in the Bible, a story that's rendered where Naaman has an issue with leprosy. And somebody tell my wife, please stop standing over there because I ain't going nowhere. I know what she's trying to do. She don't want me to die right now because she ain't found her box yet. But Naaman has a problem. And so he goes down to the man of God's house. You know, he goes down there. He did that part right. Little girl told him, say, you know, I know a man, a prophet, and you know, all that kind of stuff. He go down there. And so because the man of God won't come out to see him, he get an attitude. Looks at his little flunkies and has nerve to say, well, surely he could have come out and done thus and thus, you know. And every now and then, there's always somebody in your crew that ought to have a little more sense than you got. Please don't hang around people who are dumb as you are all the time. have somebody in your crew that's got a little more sense. And so one of them said, well, excuse me, what if? What difference does it make? So if he had told you to do something really crazy, is that really what it takes? And some of y'all act like that with God. You act like God got to say something really ridiculous. If the man say go dip, go dip. What do you got to lose? And sometimes in our lives, we act like, you know, when God is saying something to us, it ain't mysterious enough. It ain't no cantations or nothing. You know, God is just a simple God. He's just a guy, you know. Look at him when he came into his own. Jesus was just like everybody else. You know, Jesus didn't walk around speaking in tongues. There's not one instance where Jesus tried to show out. He just sat down with people. They came and said, you hanging out with sinners and wine bibbers and drinkers. Jesus said, this is where the party at, man. Jesus said, I came for these kind of folk. I don't know about y'all. When I get to heaven, I'm going to find out where the party at.
Woo!
Yes, sir. Y'all, some of y'all be sitting around, you know, with y'all long white robes on. Mine going to have rib juice on it. Bacardi, you know, all that, you know. It's got to be a party in heaven. Them angels ain't going back and forth for nothing. They got to have something inspiring them. Every place got a little back room somewhere. Amen. Y'all going to end up in the wrong heaven. I'm going to the right heaven. And so it is. I let y'all go. I'm tired. But so here's my point. You got to understand that you have to give him something back. Now, I know today it's over. Y'all going to go home and keep ripping stuff open and all that kind of stuff. I don't have no problem with it. I really don't. I'm just hoping that you learn something today, that you'll give him something back. You know, we've only got a few days left. The times are upon us. And so we need to get our business straight with God. Stop being selfish. Stop being greedy. You know, I mean, what else do you need? Some of y'all got stuff in y'all closet y'all ain't had on yet. You got shoes and stuff like that, and that's all right, I guess. But give God back these four things for the rest of your life. Just always remember, one, give him surrender without conditions. Whatever God asks you to do, just do it. You ain't going to lose nothing. Second, you need to make sacrifice and stop laying a claim to compensation. Well, Lord, since I did that, now you ought to. No. I'm really at the point in my life where God ain't got to do nothing else. I'm serious. I mean, I have lived beyond my expectations. Now, I ain't trying to go nowhere now. Don't y'all misunderstand that now. I mean, I want God to still do a few things, but I mean, come on. What else does it take for us to really make sacrifices without working for some claim? Well, Lord, I thought maybe since I did that, no. And then laugh. For God's sake, laugh. You'd be amazed at how you're going to feel when you laugh. And then lastly, just live your life as a loyalist. Don't flake out on God. You know, people going to come and go. Church going to change. You know, stuff happens in church. Be loyal. Stick with the Lord. Grandma and him, you sang that song, Hosea. Said, I just promised him that I would serve him till I die. And some of y'all need to re-enlist. You need to recommit to God. We got watch night coming up in a few days. And you know, I don't know. Sometimes we get so programmatic. You know, I'm going to wait till this time. No, you need to declare now. I'm talking about, I'm going to watch night. I'm going to make a recommitment. And you may not make it to watch night. Be loyal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Sally, y'all looking at me right there? I told y'all, I'm not, well, y'all going to make me work extra hard. That should have got some amens right there. mocking me. Who doing that? Yeah, everybody keep me sick at the same time. Cutting in on my sympathy. So here it is. Let's stand on our feet. A little past 11. I promise y'all we're going to keep you long. What time is it? Oh, my Father. What happened? God bless every one of you today. I hope you like what we've done in the sanctuary. We made some changes. I'm trying to do some things. And people complain, say, y'all talk too much. Y'all don't do nothing. So we say we're going full speed, man. We're gonna chop. Well, next week when you come, we're going to have some new television monitors up on the wall. And we're gonna do some stuff. And I hope when y'all see us doing, y'all give. They make us pay for that stuff, man. They don't give us nothing. So this is our church, isn't it? And God bless you. Thank you all so much for coming this morning. Enjoy your families. Get ready to go home. Y'all hug each other. Don't hug me. I don't want nobody to get sick on my account. Just wave at me from afar. But here's what I need you to do today. I need you to give him something back. I gave you four options today. If you can't pick all four of them, start with one of them. You know, if you still feel like God owes you something, then you're not going to sacrifice without a claim for compensation. So if you think God owes you something, I don't know why. And then if you feel like you still got some running and wild oats to sow, then you're not going to surrender without conditions. So, you know, you got to work on that. And then if you're not ready to be loyal, not to me, not to the ministers, the deacons, anything, but loyal to God, then at least laugh. You know, Sarah laughed when she heard the declaration that she's going to have a child at 90-something years old. And God knows, she entitled to laugh. She probably was crying more than anything else. Probably figured, bad, and my feet hurt now, and I got to carry another person, you know. But she laughed. She laughed. And God didn't really get mad at her. Sometimes some preachers have tried to turn that story around. It's not that God really was mad. He just said, you know, why you laugh? And she kind of explained it best she could. She said, you know, that just don't make no sense to me. And how many of y'all have had God do something in your life that just didn't make no sense to you? So you laugh too. You're like, man, this is trippy, man. Y'all know God got a good sense of humor. Yeah. God will let you go 6 miles out the way, end up in the same place you started, and it's right there. You're like, come on, God, really? You just shake your head and say, okay, God, I got it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go home, or wherever y'all going. I don't know where you're going. Just don't come to my house. I'm sick. I'm going home to go to bed. I ain't coming to your house either. Now, if you got chitlins, send them my way. All chitlins got to be inspected by me. I'm serious. Don't, if anybody got chitlins, I find out you didn't send me none. When I do get well, I'm going to come drive across your yard and do little donuts, pluck up your flowers and stuff. Amen. Chitlins is a healing ointment. Amen. I read it in the Bible. Please be kind to each other. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today. If there's someone in this room that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, Lord, would you touch them, allow them to navigate, squeeze by, come on out in the aisle, and surrender. Then come this far to go home with empty pockets, trying to save folk through the preaching of the gospel. Here's what makes us laugh. It says, by the foolishness of preaching. It's amazing how you do that, God. Somebody's son or daughter, some husband or some wife, some family just hasn't surrendered. So, God, would you touch them today? Christmas morning, the day we celebrate our Lord's birth. What
can we give you? And you have everything. We can give you us. That's really what you want. And we'll give you us. So for that son or daughter, that husband or wife, would you touch them today? They don't leave outside the ark of safety. We surrender. Back in the day, Lord, in the church I grew up in, we'd simply hear the old preacher say, I yield, I yield. I can't run no more. Lord, I surrender. Would you accept their surrender today, unconditional? Forgive them for the past, things they've done, things they've said, places they've been. The devil had us so confused. But now, Lord, that we got a way of escape. We want to run out of there as fast as we can and run to your arms. Save us. Here's what you taught us to pray. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Somewhere in this room today, there's a family that's kind of torn apart. There have been some struggles, some issues. Mend that, Lord. Bring them back together on this day that they celebrate Lord and Savior's birth. Renew them. David declared, creating us clean heart and renewing us a right spirit. And we'll tell everybody about it. We'll tell transgressors your ways. And your ways are so wonderful. So loving you are to us. What is man that thou art mindful of him, having made him just a little lower than the angels? But you care so much about us that you pressed through 42 generations to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall live and live forever. So for those who are in this room today, meet them in that place of confession. We are told that we would confess with our mouth and believe in our heart Jesus is Lord, we would be saved. Save us. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory. Give us traveling mercies. We won't turn from this place, but never your presence until we're able to come together again. Oh God, let us enjoy this day. Just let us laugh. We'll eat and drink and laugh and play and eat and drink and laugh and play till we just wear ourselves plumb out. And we'll lay down and then we'll wake up tomorrow and do it all again. The joy of the Lord. That's our strength. Let us enjoy one another. Let us be long-suffering and patient. No trivial arguments this time around. No family spats, no squabbles. We're just going to laugh. And when folk get on our nerves, remind us that we get on folk nerve too. All of us got some fixing up to do. Let's just laugh in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you. Hug at least four or five folk. And we'll see you again real soon. God bless you. Looking forward to seeing you at Watch Night services and celebration. Looking forward to the next great thing the Lord's going to do. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.